This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. That's Lindsey Buckingham's Holiday Road, which was the theme song to National Lampoon's Vacation, the 1983 movie. Well, let's see. Do the math. In 1983 to 2013, and you're talking about 30 years of vacation.
Sorry, folks. We're closed for 2 weeks to clean and repair America's favorite family fun park. Sorry.
What?
Clark, what are you doing?
We watch his program. We buy his toys, we go to his movies. He owes us. Doesn't he owe us? Huh? He owes the Griswolds, right? Fucking A, right, he owes us.
Clark, you're scaring me.
Don't be scared. I just think somebody owes us an explanation, that's all.
That's Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo as Clark and Ellen Griswold, and Beverly D'Angelo joins me now. Welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you, Paul. You know, I'm just doing my little homework on you, and I wanted to congratulate you on all your achievements.
Well, thank you very much.
I want one of your trivia calendars.
I think I may have a couple in the garage. I'll see if I can send you one. Are you a big trivia fan?
Yeah.
I've been
known to play running trivia, actually.
What's running trivia?
Running trivia is where you have let's see how many people, like, you can have up to 50 people in different places in the house. The way that my little game group does it is everybody's kind of isolated in groups of 10. You get the, you get the questions, and then you have to answer them and run, you know, to the main thing with your answer, and whoever gets the, you know.
Oh, I like it.
Like running trivia. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not only doing trivia, you're getting a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of exercise.
Tiny bit of exercise.
I mean,
exercise.
I mean, the kitchen to the den, you're not going to get that much of a sweat worked up, but you're going to get some knowledge.
Hey, you know, if you got the answers and you want to win, you're going to get there.
All right, let's talk about the 30th anniversary of National Lampoon's Vacation, which is out now on Blu-ray. How did you get involved in this? Did Harold Ramis call you? Did Chevy Chase call you? How did you get involved?
I went in on an audition and I met Harold and Chevy. I knew some of Chevy's. There was this group of people that came to Los Angeles the same time that I got here, and it was like a group of East Coast brilliant guys that were from Harvard, and they were just kind of changing everything and kind of infiltrating the movie system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Chevy was with that group. He didn't go to Harvard, but he knew all the Lampoon guys. And so it was kind of like there was a group of people that had just gotten here that brought in the same time I got here. So we had some things in common anyway, and we just kind of clicked. And the first one was R-rated, and it was not intended as, you know, no one said, well, this will be our legacy.
Yeah.
This will last the test of time. That's just a phenomena that's happened, because it was R-rated, and I was living in Italy at the time, and I get this phone call saying, "Oh, you're in the number one movie in America this week," and I was really surprised. But what we realized was happening was that instead of it being as a satire for just the audience that watched Saturday Night Live, that kind of the country was embracing it as like a comedic reflection of themselves, and I guess they never stopped. So it came, you know, I don't know, taking it to heart.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the R rating, because John Hughes wrote it. It was one of the first things he did that was a hit, and it launched his career as
it
well.
It was the first thing. It was the first movie he wrote.
And later on, he went on to do, you know, a lot of things like Breakfast Club, etc.
He became John Hughes.
Right.
I mean, it was like, you know, he
He was kind of the voice of that generation's teenagers, but this
you
was...
You know what? John Hughes was the first person to get... There was this myth in Hollywood that you had to be older than you played to give it, you know, teenagers were traditionally in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Like 20-year-olds would play teenagers, because there was just this myth that you had to be older to have the presence to play a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But John Hughes changed that, and it was a very subtle thing, and I don't think anybody's ever pointed it out, but it's a fact that, you know, he wrote for teens and cast teens. So he created this kind of niche, you know, that really hadn't existed before. I mean, I think Andy Rooney was like 30 when he was in the, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So he kind of created a niche and a genre, I think. I think John Hughes' movies became a genre.
And, of course, he started with this movie, and Anthony Michael Hall was there. He was a teenager playing a teenager, and then went on to be a teenager for John
That's
Hughes
right.
for about 20 years.
Yeah, you know what? He, J- John Hughes personified the coming-of-age kind of genre.
Yep. Now, is it true that the original ending of National Lampoon's Vacation did not end the way we saw it?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Originally, the Griswolds go to Wally World. It's closed, so we go to Mr. Wally's house and hold him up at gunpoint and make him perform for us.
Oh, really?
So we had Eddie Bracken playing Mr. Wally, and he was Eddie Bracken was a, you know, famous song and dance man. And so he did this whole song and dance. And then about 6 months later, we all got called back. Because I said I was living in Italy at the time. We got called back for reshoots. It was like 3 days of reshoots. And I said to Maddie Simmons, you know, why? What happened to the other ending? It was why are we shooting a new ending? And he said, well, you know, it was too nice.
Too nice.
He said, yeah, we had to do something darker. So that's when that was John Candy's first movie.
Yep.
They found John.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the whole, so it got changed to, you know, John Candy being held at gunpoint and opening up the park for us.
And that turned into a hilarious ending and was wonderful. I'm curious if in the rest of your career, have you ever had that where you shot the movie, you finished, you went back home, you settled into your life again, and then they call you and say, come back to the set, we've decided to change it.
Not that large, no. I've done a couple of reshoots. I think I did a couple of reshoots on a movie that I made with Paul Hogan, a Western. But no, nothing that was this big, no.
Did Harold...
Nothing that was such a difference.
Did Harold?
But, you know, I mean, it made sense because I think that, you know, think about if we had made that movie and we'd never actually gotten into Wally World.
Yeah. And it would have been anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Did Harold Ramis, a guy who comes from an improv background, and Chevy and John Candy and Eugene Levy's in the movie and Brian Doyle Murray, all these guys with this improv background, were they just making it up as they went along?
Well, you know, there was a certain amount of improvisation, but it wasn't that loose. I mean, Harold was really, really good. And it was kind of that thing of like, it was cast so well that it wasn't, it was very organic. So nobody, you know, anything that was improvised, everybody did improvise along the lines of how they were cast. So it all made sense. There wasn't any. It's a very easy shoot. There wasn't anything. You know, sometimes people improvise, and that kind of implies that the plot goes out the window or the character turns into something else. But I think the casting was so good in that movie that, you know, and the lines, the scenes were well written enough that you could kind of improvise around them and still get the point across.
Let's talk about your current project. I understand you have a movie coming out in September called Bounty Killer. What's that about?
Oh, you know what? I'm really kind of thrilled to talk about it because it's really a surprise. I have a small part in this film called Bounty Killer, and there was the director Henry Sain was part of the arts department of Entourage, but he's a graphic artist, and he did a short based on a graphic novel called Bounty Killer that was really fascinating, and then he turned that into a film. So this film is a post-apocalyptic, you know, girls with guns. It's set in a world where the corporate leaders have, it's set in 2042, and the corporate leaders have ruined the world, and they are now in this new world the prize bounty. And the heroes of the world are the bounty killers who find these old corporate guys and get rid of them, right?
Yep.
I mean, I'm just kind of like distilling it down, but it's really great. It's like, it's like Mad Max for the, you know, the 2020s. It's really great, really, really entertaining and moving. And when it was over, I said to Henry, I can't believe I just watched like 1,000 people get blown away, but I'm actually touched, and it's a feel-good movie. So it's great. It's starring Christian Peter, September 8th, Selected Theater.
Bounty Killer, a feel-good movie. Let me ask you one more question before I let you go, Beverly. You mentioned Entourage, and of course you played Babs Miller on that show, recurring role for many seasons. We hear that there's a rumor that there's going to be an Entourage movie. Tell us the truth.
There is going to be an Entourage movie. There is going to be an Entourage movie, and I asked Doug Ellen if Barbara was dead, and I don't know yet. I know that he... You know.
That's how you started the negotiations for the job? Am I dead?
Is she dead? Yeah.
All right, we'll look forward to that. And Bounty Killer in the fall. And in the meantime, National Lampoon's Vacation 30th Anniversary Edition is out on Blu-ray in stores and online now. A pleasure talking with you. And thanks for the research on me. I appreciate it. America Weekend.